Hello and welcome to ABW Radio Live. I am your host, Chris. It's a North London Derby day, so we've got plenty to discuss. Sorry, I just realised I was sat on top of the camera there. So apologies for that if you got a bit too much of my face. I'm joined today by Carl and by Jason. Good afternoon, people.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. I was just waiting there, Jason. I was like, Christ, he's topped himself. He can't handle it. He's gone.
Hello.
Right. Let's get straight into it then, gents. I've got a couple of rants today, so I'll hold them back because I think we need to take it slowly and build our way up to a big climax, said the vicar to the schoolboy. Jace, let's start with you. You watched the game with the Triangle Gooners, I believe, in North Kakalaki. How did you see it? I'm going to rely on you two quite heavily because I did miss the first half. I'll explain why in a minute. So how did you see it?
It was a good atmosphere. It was a really early start for us over here on the East Coast. So I was up this morning at 6:15 a.m. and I was at the pub at about 6:50. So it was good. We actually had a pretty good turnout, obviously, for North London Derby, an early start on the East Coast, and a big shout out to everybody on the West Coast. A good buddy of mine, Loose Footballs, as well as our own OG. Kickoff was at 4 a.m. for those guys. So quite early. Yes. Big shout out to all the Gooners on the West Coast of the U.S. and of course over in Asia who probably are viewing this very, very odd hour. So it was really good. We had a good cracking atmosphere. Pretty much it was the regulars there. There were about 35 to 40 of us in there. Just spewing hatred at that team from infield. So it was nice. Other than that, once the game kicked off, I think we started off a little flat and took us a little while to find our feet. They had us on the back foot coming out really early on. And, as much as we don't want to give that lot any credit, I think they're extremely well coached in Mauricio Pochettino. Is probably one of the better managers. Too bad he's just stuck at such a mid-level team, because I think if he actually had good resources and a board that would actually probably support him the way he wanted to instead of the way Daniel Levy wants to run his own show, then I bet he'd probably do really, really good things. But luckily he's at Tottenham and he's not doing really good things with them. They got off to a really good start on us, and I think it took us a little while to settle in the game. But the second, the last 20 minutes of the first half, I think we really played some really good football and were really unlucky to score. And then second half was just, people were talking about how good it was for the neutral over here on the broadcast. And I don't care who you are, you can't be neutral when it comes to Spuds and us. You have to pick one or the other, and if you're not for us, you're against us. So I think the second half was really tough. We really played some really good football at times, and we played some really bad football at times. So it was a typical North London derby. The form book does go out of the window, as they say. And is it a fair result? No, because we always deserve to beat that lot. And I think we did get really unlucky today with Theo's shot going off the crossbar. You know, Iwobi's chance he should have had a better time with. Some really poor refereeing as well from Clattenburg. Let's not forget. For Clattenburg, it wasn't the North London Derby. It was the Mark Clattenburg show featuring Mark Clattenburg guest starring Arsenal and Tottenham. So, he made sure that he had his voice heard today. All over the pitch, because I think they got away with some egregious fouls, a lot of repetitive fouls. I know Victor Wanyama, I don't even think he had a card, and he got away with like 8 or 9 fouls. So you take the two teams out of it, do you take a point today? You'll pull away with a point. Still keeps you towards the top of the table. We didn't drop full points, but after yesterday's results, we really I think we really missed an opportunity to sort of take the league by the horns.
Yeah, very succinct. Like it. Carl, give us your thoughts. I presume you were gutted you couldn't be there today, but what was your sort of overall feelings, both sort of at the end of the first half and indeed at the end of the game? Is it more of a disappointment? Is it sort of a, you can never judge these games as a one-off because they're so unique. How would you see it?
It's always a disappointment when we don't beat them. You know, just they're the sort of team, like, you know, back in the day it used to be probably Man United and them who really, really wanted to beat, and then it sort of changed to maybe, oh, 2-0 Liverpool. And then it sort of changed to Chelsea and them. But it's always them. It's always them you really want to beat. And when we don't beat them, especially at home, you know, I just think that's a missed opportunity. I think today it hurts. Like, if I don't know why, but it feels like a defeat. If you don't beat them, and even just a draw, it really does feel like a defeat, because we had chances and we didn't play our best today. I don't know why. I think the formation, they went three at the back today, and I think that really threw us for the first 20 minutes of the first half, because we didn't know how they were playing. They were all over Sanchez, and we were playing so deep as well that there were so many times that we just didn't get men into the box. And it's a frustration of that, of Arsenal. We don't do that the best of times, but it seems that, I think Middlesbrough done it, was the first team to do it against us, playing three at the back, and we couldn't penetrate them. And I think that lot did it today, and it shows that it kind of works against us, unfortunately. So I can see a lot of teams doing that against us. I don't know. We really should have beaten them today, because we had chances. I think for the first 20 minutes, we did look a bit lost at sea. Pardon the pun, Chris. But I think it took a lot of time for us to sort of adjust, because if you're playing three at the back, then you've got to kind of use the wide areas. And Arsenal are not that team to sort of get the ball up wide and throw the ball in the box. Like I said before, there were so many times where the build-up was really good, but I just didn't have anybody in the box. So it was kind of easy for the three defenders at the back just to push up a little bit and defend against us. And the frustration sort of built up, and, you know, we got the goal, and which was brilliant. But I think in the second half, we grew into the game a bit more. But it's weird that I think that we sort of tired towards the end of the second half, where I think they should have. I mean, I know they were getting cramp a lot, but not to beat them, it hurts, because this is the game any Arsenal fan really wants to win. You know, forget the Man Uniteds and the Chelseas and the Liverpools. That this is the game where we really want to beat them. I think it would have been good to beat them today, because we could have put an end to their unbeaten records. I mean, I know they're not going to go 49 games unbeaten, I know this, but, you know, the fact that we could have stopped it today, and I think that was a missed opportunity for us.
Agreed. Should say at this point, thank you to those of you joining us in the chat box. Just a quick reminder, we're all friends here. Please don't cut each other off, because you will be blocked. Thank you. That's my nice little piece done. No, seriously, guys, chat away, but just respect each other's opinions. Thank you very much. Right. As I said, I missed the first half. I had a game with my Sunday league team this morning, which was a little bit more successful, luckily. Hey. So I am very much in the dark with the first half. So, Jace, what was your sort of thoughts? I hear Theo hit the bar. I heard that I predicted Cos first score, and I hear that's been cruelly taken away from me. so what was the sort of things that you picked up on for that first half performance?
Yeah, in the first half, you know, like I said, we started out really flat and really slow, and there were some times when they were able to get down the wings. You know, specifically, you know, we just conceded a lot of possession, a lot of sloppy passing. They were able to get some crosses in. It was just, we didn't really close down well on the wings. It was really, really unfortunate. We allowed them a lot of space and to get some crosses off. We were pretty lucky. Harry Kane had a header that came in that he just hit wide. And I think if he had been in form, it probably would have gone in. I think it missed the post by about a foot. But then we started to finally grow into the match and started to complete, you know, some consecutive passes. I want to say, you know, early on, I will say there were some positive signs from Coughlin and from Xhaka, with some decent breakup play and some decent interceptions. And, you know, I think they really sort of kept us in very early on, but our midfield was overrun really, really early. Obviously, they were able to get it at Monreal as a Wobi. Sort of his youth is starting to show, just not knowing exactly where to be when, especially when we don't have the ball. Just a little bit of inexperience, I think it'll sort of come to him as he matures and grows, but right now he just doesn't quite have it. Yeah, then we had some really good play, and Theo got the ball on the right hand side at the top of the box and just tried to blast it into the upper right corner and just hit the post, and it came off and it fell to Ozil. And I think everybody in the pub thought he had time to take at least one touch to sort of settle it before he could slot it home, and he had pretty much an open net, but he decided to first time it and sky the ball over the net. So it was really, really unfortunate. But yeah, then we were able to get I believe it was the free kick, and a lot of the talk from the commentary was that we were offside on the free kick. Well, I don't think it was Koscielny who was offside, who was technically the one who was trying to play the ball. I think he was on. Plus, we never touched the ball. Obviously, it was a picture-perfect header from Vimmer. It was really, really good. Evidently, I didn't know that we had a double agent over there. So it was really, really good to see. But yeah, unfortunately, Chris, it will go down as an own goal. Koscielny never touched it. But it was a break that we needed, and I think the break that we deserved, because we were really, really good in the latter part of the second half, and I think we deserve to be up. Another opportunity in the first half that you'll probably hear about, Chris, as well as a Wobi sort of streaking in on goal, got the ball, and a very Henri-esque finish was in the workings, but he just couldn't wrap his foot around the ball enough and shot it too close, and Lloris was able to get low and to capture it. So it was we had our chances. We could have easily been up, but we went into halftime with a nice 1-0 lead, and I think I thought we were going to come out of in the second half with a lot more confidence than we really did. But like I said, it was really tough going early on, as I think their midfield sort of overwhelmed us before we could really sort of get into the match, which is a little worrying for me. It seems with these early matches, we do tend to struggle really early on. And I don't know if it's the time or not. And I'd love to ask Dom sort of his thoughts on possibly, coming from a military background, we always say, train how you fight. And if the military is, the Army's going to do a mission at 2 a.m. in the morning, then we're going to train at 2 a.m. in the morning to be prepared for it. I understand, we have schedules and routines, and I think we need to put ourselves in the routine of sort of training around when our game time will be. I think that would help. That would keep us crisp and fresh at that time. The bodies would be used to it, instead of having to do these little one-offs, earlier on in the day. Obviously at night it's a little different, but specifically these early kickoffs are, I think, the ones that give us trouble, because I don't think our record's the greatest, and I don't think we're terrible at them anymore. But I think we could be doing better, and we could be doing more to get better results from this. Because, like Carl says, it's a little bitter. It's pretty bitter today, knowing that we could have gone top of the table, could have beat that lot from just down the road, and we sort of just we let them sort of steal 2 points from us today.
It's a good sum up there. I will catch up later on. I was listening to it, but obviously you don't really get the full picture when you're listening. So yeah, it's a bit of a tough one. Carl, when you just sort of summing up the performance as a whole, when you look at this today, did you feel like we ever hit our optimum level? Like, were there periods of play where you went, yeah, that's the Arsenal I've seen for the last few weeks? Or do you feel like we got to that stage today where it's just like, maybe the legs ran out a bit, maybe the sort of the how can I put this, the spectacle of the day got the best of the players?
Towards the end of the first half, yeah, it was brilliant. Arsenal, our passing was crisp. We was making runs, we was moving about. I think we kind of got used to the them lot's formation. But I do think tired legs definitely showed today. We wasn't the Arsenal that we're used to, that have been for the past like 6 or 7 games. For me, I think if you can't get hyped for a derby, then you can't get hyped for any game. I'm sorry, that this is the game that you've got to put your all into. And for me, I just think that there were some players, I don't know, it just didn't seem like they were up for it a little bit. For a derby, you should be putting your all into it. You should be, I'm not saying flying into tackles to get yourself sent off, I'm not saying do that, but a little extra bite in your tackles. And there were so many we didn't win any second balls. I can't.
Yeah.
In the first half, there were so many second balls that we just didn't get to. And I just think I'm looking at, as a spectator, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, come on, guys, like, win the second ball. The ball would bounce and then it would always go to one of their players. Or they would jump for the ball and we wouldn't run after the ball where they would. And I think to myself, like, you've got to do better. I know it's easy for me to say this and, like, I'm not there and I haven't been training, I haven't been flying about and, like, I'm not tired like them. But I think to myself, if you can't get hyped up for this sort of game, you can't do it at all. And just only towards the end of the first half that we looked good. And then it sort of just, we just crumbled. I think once they got their penalty, it almost seemed like we got scared a little bit and we didn't really go for it. We didn't really, like, go at them. Like, that's just like Jason would have seen. The second half, we tried to play more, but then again, just the second ball, we couldn't get to it. It's almost like we had playing with reins on, like we was holding back for some unknown reason. And I know you can blatantly tell that Xhaka was told not to fly into any tackles and to calm down. You could tell that was told to him in this game, because I can't think of once where, you know, he had a brilliant tackle or he flew into someone. So you can blatantly tell he was told just to pull it back a bit. Coquelin was his normal self. He was flying to tackles. He was on it. Even Theo Walcott had a bit of a bite about him. You know, there was a time between him and Vertonghen, another little square up. And that was the only time in the game. Like, for me, that's brilliant. I want that in the whole game. I want, like, players to be squaring up to each other, like, to not fighting, obviously, but, you know, to really be in each other's faces. And it just didn't seem like that today for some unknown reason. We was held back. And I just think in these sort of games, you've got to go for it. Like, you can't be holding back, especially, like as Jason said, we had a chance to go top of the table, especially with the Man City result yesterday. But I don't know, I think we definitely looked just a little bit tired today, and hopefully the players who are not going to international duty will get a little rest and come back fresh for Man United after the break.
Yeah, I do actually just want to make a quick point on before we go into the goals and stuff. Make a quick point on this tiredness thing. I've heard a lot of experts, I'm doing that in inverted commas for those listening on audio, say that, oh, you know, they're professional footballers, they do it for a job. If I don't go to work, I get sacked, blah, 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 blah. Yes, okay, fine. I get that. I understand. People don't seem to grasp the concept of the fact that a professional athlete can get tired mentally as well as physically. And it pisses me off when people constantly say, oh, they should be able to run 54 games a week. Oh, come on. You know, these guys are training every single day, but they're mentally focused and mentally prepared. There's a lot that goes through a game, particularly of this magnitude, this pressure. It's not an excuse. Liverpool, fuck off, scouse cunts. You know, it's not an excuse. I'm not saying it's a reason. I'm just simply saying that look at Spurs, for Christ's sake. You know, they've been, as much as it pains me to say it, they've been great this season. And they've run out of legs in recent weeks. And they've run out they've had mental fragility, I think. And
you can't run for 90 minutes constantly.
No.
And you think, yes, they're training and they're traveling, also takes it out of you. I mean, I know they only went to Bulgaria, but definitely they've flown to Bulgaria. They probably got back Wednesday morning, maybe. And then back to training on Thursday and training again Friday, training again, well, probably light training yesterday. You know, it definitely takes it out of you. You can't, just like we go to work every single day, we get tired. By the end of the week, we're shattered. So it's exactly the same for them.
Yeah, I agree. I have to say, it's not an excuse. Before anyone jumps on it, it's not an excuse. And yes, you want your team to get up for these games, but it has an effect. That's just the way it is. It's a fact.
Can we also mention those same cunts who were saying that about their professional athletes are typically probably some of the laziest people at their office?
Yes, or indeed people like Robbie Savage, who has a habit of saying how, you know, he ran for every day of the week and he kept playing and he could play on for... Yeah, Robbie, you played for who? Sorry, Blackburn, Birmingham? Powerhouse clubs where the pressure is really on 24/7. Bollocks, you mongrel. Anyway, let's talk about... We covered the own goal, I suppose, but let's talk about the second half where it maybe went a bit wrong. Just before I say that, Francis Coquelin's celebration, I have seen that. I love that guy. I don't care what anyone says, I love him. I think he's fucking brilliant. He's like a fan on the pitch, but with a lot more talent. I love it. But yeah, what about the penalty? I've seen a few people say it was soft. It was, you know, it wasn't a penalty. I'm sorry. Listen, I'm as biased as anyone. I fucking hate Spurs. That was a penalty. I don't care what anyone says. It's a pen. And if it's at the other end, we're all livid. Jace, why do you think Koz made the challenge? And more importantly, why did we not stop that move at source?
That's a great question. There's a lot of times when we could have asked ourselves why we didn't, you know, close down a little sooner. Why didn't we, why didn't we come out a little sooner? I think Koz made the tackle because I think we were defensively shaky today. There were times when the ball got in the box and I was just like, here it goes. Like we're going to concede. But I think that was sort of mentally on the players. I think he was just so worried about not allowing him any more space. And I think he played Dembele played a slightly heavy touch that probably Koz thought he could have got to and he couldn't. And he gave the referee a decision. I personally think it was soft. At the same point, I 100% understand why it was given. And I also understand that, we can't put ourselves in that position. And if the same thing happened to us, we'd probably be saying, yeah, it's a dead on pin. But I do think it was a bit soft. I think Dembele was a little bit out of control. I think he was, probably going a little crazy there, trying to just get rid of the ball and Koz just stepped in at the wrong time. So, it's one of those things where it goes your way, you're more than thrilled and you take it, and it doesn't go your way. And you find a way to complain about it. The problem was, again, and I said it with the Xhaka red card, we got to stop giving the referees, we got to stop putting the decision in their hands. We shouldn't have to rely on him having a perfect call or seeing it perfectly, or giving a soft one, or it being a dead on pin. We got to stop putting that decision in the referee's hands, no matter who the referee is, whether it's Mark Fame Hungry Clattenburg or Mike the Cunt Dean. We got to do a better job of keeping our heads about us in those little situations.
Yeah, I do agree. And I have to say one thing as well with regards to referees. I say to my team on a Sunday morning every single week, I say it doesn't matter who the referee is. It doesn't matter what decisions they give. They will always make some crap calls and they might make a few good calls. If you go and win the game, the referee is completely irrelevant. And it's a very easy excuse to make. And don't get me wrong, I've ranted at referees in the past and some of them are crap, but you have to just play to the game and try and put the game away, and then you don't have to worry about relying on referee decisions. Anyway, the Mong, the mouth breather, he ran off like he'd won the World Cup when he scored his penalty, which was an appalling penalty, by the way. God, that man's face. I'm not going to say that because it'll be liable, but man's a cunt.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I would quite happily throw darts of acid at his face, but still, he's just such. Do you know what I hate about it most? It's the arrogance. Like, he comes across as a really arrogant twat. Just hate him. Anyway, moving on. Carl, so 1-1. Did you? Obviously, I did see the second half, and I felt that. I don't know whether we got a bit nervous or whether we retreated a bit, but I never really felt, up until that last maybe 10 minutes where we did push them, I never felt like we were going to go again. Is that a fair comment, or do you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, I'd be honest. I didn't think I think once we conceded, I couldn't see us winning the game. And that's the most annoying thing. Like, I genuinely couldn't see us winning the game because we just never created any clear-cut chances in the second half. Like, there was never... It just seemed like we did definitely tire in the second half, but it just seemed like we'd almost thought, okay, you know what, we've got a point out of this. Let's kind of make sure we don't lose this point rather than going on to try and win the another 2 points. For me, it's frustrating because I felt that we should have, I think if we had attacked them more, like properly gone for them, we could have maybe got something out of the game. They were definitely tiring, But at the same time, unfortunately, so were we. So it almost seemed like it was on par with each other. And I think the substitutions, that I don't know if we can talk about them later, but I think they were quite positive. I'm a fan of playing Sanchez from the left. I'm a big fan of it. I know he's been brilliant up front, but I'm a fan of him playing from the left, cutting inside. I think for me, that's his bread and butter. That's why I kind of wish that we'd gone for more strikers this season, but that's another story. But I felt when he did go to the left, I felt the dynamics of the game changed so much. Like, it wasn't his normal sort of dynamic self. He wasn't running about. He was losing the ball quite a lot, unfortunately. But I think even once the subs came on, the game sort of changed a hell of a lot. I don't know what Ox was on today. He didn't have the best game today, unfortunately. But I think it was hard to find the pace of the game for Ox today. And I don't think Ramsey usually runs on beyond the last man and sort of gets into the box. And even today, I think he was a bit more conservative. Even he was sort of popping the ball forward and then running back, hopefully, to sort of cut out the counter-attack that I think they were obviously trying to play us. So I think in the second half, we just played very, very conservative. We played safe. The substitutions were positive substitutions, and I credit Arsene for that, definitely. You know, he wanted to win the game, but I think the players probably didn't, and I think they were just happy to sort of get the ball. If it went forward and it went into the goal, good for them. If it didn't, then I think they were kind of happy.
Yeah, I think you make some good points there. And like you say, I did think the changes were fairly positive based on what we had. And I must admit, I'll be honest, when I saw Ramsey coming on at that stage, I thought, ooh, is that a little bit early? Just, it's nothing against Rambo. You know, I've expressed my concerns before, and they remain, that I do worry about his distribution at times and sometimes his lack of tracking back. But, you know, the Ox had a similar situation, and we'll transition into our fan base via the Ox, Jace. I'll have a little rant in a minute. But, what do you think about the Ox's performance and the substitutes? I mean, a few people are getting on Iwobi's back. A few people are getting on Ox's back. I mean, yeah, he misplaced a few passes. But, I mean, you know, did you really think they were that bad? I didn't think they were that bad.
Well, if you're going to call out Ox's passes, then you need to call out Sanchez's passing today.
Agreed, yeah.
Because it was dreadful at times, absolutely dreadful, just appalling. And you know, we can talk about this player's been really bad. Let's talk. Obviously, Iwobi is like a hot topic for a lot of people. I know our good friend, you know, Lord Hill Wood from the podcast has you know, been saying for a while that he needs a break. I do agree with that. I mean, he's still developing, right? Like, let's look at it through that lens. He's still developing. One of the reasons we all really like Arsenal, one of the main reasons we talk shit to other teams, is because they don't bring on players to develop them. That's what we're doing with Iwobi. So we're going to have to take the growing pains right now. I do feel like you should be rested just a little bit for the next few games. I know Dom's mentioned on the podcast a few weeks ago that, you know, his fitness levels aren't going to be where they're at when he's a little older, where the older players are at. Like, his body's still developing. He's still trying to find the top level of his engine and where that's going to be. You know, as far as, you know, Ramsey, he's sort of coming back from, you know, an injury. We've sort of slowly bedded him in. He hasn't had a lot of minutes. And the best way to be crisp and sharp is to play minutes, to get minutes under your belt, to get that stamina back, to get that muscle memory back. And when you're not playing all the time, it's very difficult to do. You know, a lot of people said we were, you know, atrocious whenever, you know, specifically, you know, it was Giroud and Ramsey came on, Giroud and Ox came on. And I don't think we were that terrible. I think the rest of the players had given a lot. Obviously you're going to go an extra step. You're going to go an extra yard every single play with, when it's a game like this and it's a derby, you're going to put that extra effort in and you're going to get tired. They were just as tired as we were. Evidently their peptides had worn off, allegedly, performance enhancing, allegedly. I'm not allegedly. That's what I've heard.
Cuts. No, that's not allegedly.
No, that's not allegedly. No, that's a fact. Yeah, so I, you know, it's one of those things, like, not everybody's going to perform at their best all the time. I think we do need to be, we don't necessarily need to just accept poor performances, but at the same time, like, we got to understand, like, the players coming off the bench don't have the minutes and the sharpness that a lot of our starters do. And we maybe need to have a little bit of a longer leash with them, specifically when they come into such a big match with the scoreline like it was, and both teams, you know, as soon as it was 1-1, I think you could sort of tell that I think both teams were resigned to, like, look, a draw probably isn't the worst thing at this point for either of us right now. So let's get out of here and not concede. So you I think you could see that sort of mentality in the players. So I'm a little too forgiving, but I just don't want to just get caught out slating every single player every time they have a bad game, because players are going to have bad games. Everybody's going to have it. Mesut Ozil was having a terrible game against Ludogorets, and then all of a sudden he forces three players into retirement.
Totally agree.
You know, it's one of those things that they could, it could be instant. And then of course he's praised. Oh my goodness, he's amazing. When that, in that game before Ludogorets, he was terrible, just absolutely terrible. So let's you know, it's going to happen. The main thing that we need to worry about is making sure that, you know, our players aren't having bad games from the beginning of the match, that our starters aren't starting to have bad games consistently as a whole. That's the one thing, and we can work on the form of a few players. But I do think that we need to, instead of maybe focusing on the what let us down, let's actually take a look. I think Xhaka was actually extremely good today. He had a lot of really important interceptions. His distribution is, like, I just absolutely love watching that guy pass the ball from deep, because it's almost pinpoint every single time. And you know, if I had one criticism for today, it looked like he was a little sort of positionally unaware at times. I think that's sort of the knock on him today. It looked like he was letting a man sort of slide away from him every now and then. But no, I think you got to take a look at that. I do think Ozil was very good today. Had a couple of times when his touches let him down. And I think Monreal and Bellerin coming in with that tackle, I want to say it was like early in the second half, when I think it was Son who was in on goal almost by himself and just came sliding in from the right hand side of the left hand side, was really one of the key moments of the match that we need to really highlight, because it not only displayed his bolt like speed, but just also the pure sort of passion that he had to get back and not concede that goal, because I think they probably would have gone up and gone on to win if he didn't make that tackle.
Yeah, it's okay. It's a very, very good point, Sarah. Mandzukic just scored a lovely goal. I think you make some excellent points there. I have to just say, just reading down the chat the chat box, our good friend Bavia. I love you, my friend. I do. My God, you talk some twaddle. I love you to bits, but Christ on a bike. I genuinely love you to bits, my friend, and you have every right to your opinion, but Ozil has been poor. Really? Okay. Alexis hasn't done much since the Sunderland game. We've only played once, mate. But as I say, keep them coming, my friend. You do make me smile.
There are 38 matches in a Premier League season.
You can't be good every week.
Match does not make us.
All I will say, Bavio, is I'm glad I don't work for you, because my God, I'd be knackered. But fair play to you, my friend. Fair play to you. And I was wondering how long one of these would be. Our good friend Janu as well. I wish we had Klopp. Oh, fuck sake. Jesus. You come back to me in May, Janu, when Klopp's team have fallen at the final hurdle again, and they've run out of legs after Christmas, and then we'll have a little chat. Anyway. Anyway, if you do like what we do, by the way, please give us a little thumbs up. If you like us, even if you hate us, just give us a little thumbs up. We do appreciate it. It just helps to get our videos out there and all that jazz. So we're not fame hungry here. We just like doing these, but do give us some love. Anywho, I do just want to have a little... I'm not going to rant. It's unfair, but just a little point on our fans.
Go ahead. Go ahead and rant. Paul Carpenter, you're okay.
Well, it does annoy me. You know, I nipped onto Twitter, which was a silly thing to do after we drew a game.
Oh,
I mean,
terrible idea.
I saw a fantastic tweet yesterday. I won't quote word for word because I can't remember it, but it was something along the lines of, it was somebody who's an Arsene Wenger parody account, and it basically said, we here at Arsenal would like to congratulate Chelsea on winning the championship, which is quite impressive, seeing as Man City had already won it 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you know, And it did make me chuckle because, you know, we've drawn a game, guys. You know, it sucks that it's against them. And I appreciate people frustrated. And I get this is an instant reaction. But some of the tweets I've seen, you know, people saying that Iwobi should be sold, that Ox should have been gone 5 years ago. You know, who would go for who in the January window? And it's like, come on. We are, a point off the top of the league. It's the most open title race in years. And we've played some fucking good football this season. You know, we really have. And we've got, I think on paper and indeed on the pitch, one of the best squads we've ever had, you know, in recent years. And I just think sometimes people need to get a bit of realism. And I know Mr. Davies is going to chuckle at this, but I genuinely feel when we don't have Santi Cazorla, we're a different side. And that's tough, you know. And you can't always replace a player who's that good. You know, and unfortunately, we clearly can't at the moment. So it's tough, you know. And I just think we need to get a bit of realism when we look at the result. Take it in isolation. Say, look, we're disappointed. We want to beat them, of course, but we're in a great position, and I wouldn't swap our position for theirs. So it just annoys me. Anyway, let's move on to another topic. Carl, let me ask you about the thoughts behind after this game. I mean, we've got Manchester United after the international ball fest, because that'll be really interesting as usual. Do you think that a win now at Old Trafford is vital? I mean, do you see it as that? Because a lot of people said they would take 4 points from these two games. So do you feel that we have to get this out of our system quickly and win at Old Trafford now?
Win at Old Trafford is always important, no matter what part of the season or how many points or who we're playing around. Like, they're one of the teams that we have to beat. For me, for some unknown reason, deep down in my stomach, I've got the feeling as like last season where we probably should go there and we probably should spank them like we did last season. We should have bloody spanked them, but I think we're going to beat them. I don't know why. I think we're going to beat them. They're not playing brilliantly. I think they're winning now, I think. I don't even know.
Sadly.
Oh, okay. Well, I do think we're going to beat them because they're not the best of teams. More than likely, what they're going to do is sit back and probably try and hit us on the counter-attack as per normal. But there's someone at my door, and I'm really sorry. I'm going to have to come back to this.
Sorry, I did wonder what that knocking was.
Yeah, I think that, so I'm going to continue this, but let me go answer my door. I'm really sorry.
Go and speak to Father Carl. I'll come back to you. It's all good. Jace, pick up on that. I mean, just impacting, obviously, the United game. As Carl said, you know, we do need to be winning that game if we can. But it's not a terminal result, is it? I mean, you know, I say we've been very good. What's it, unbeaten in... Crikey, I think it's the longest unbeaten run since the Invincibles. I'm sure I read a stat saying that.
I think it's only, I think they said only one defeat in our last 20 matches. That was at home to Liverpool.
So, it's not bad, is it? I mean, you know,
Well, judging by the fan base, it's apocalyptic.
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely. As I say, you cannot draw games. That is, you know. but
he's back. I'm
back. He's back. Do you want to finish your point and then I'll come back to Jace?
So as I was saying, beating Man United is something that we need to do. And I think Man United would be stupid to try and attack us because they don't have the players. They just don't have the players to try and match us up. And on our day, as everyone knows, we could beat anyone on our day. Man United are not playing the best at the moment. So I've got a feeling that Mourinho will try and sit back and hit us on the counter-attack because we find it very hard to break teams down. It's almost impossible for us, if a team's going to defend, to break teams down. And Man United will just sit back, and then it'd be called a Mourinho masterclass. Oh, brilliantly, Man United just sat back and did anything, soaked up the pressure. It's not a masterclass. It's boring football and it's shit football. But I do feel that we have to go and beat them. Even for just mentally, that will do so much for it. Even just the 3 points would be brilliant. But mentally, to say that we've gone to Manchester United and we've beaten them, even if I take a 1-0, like even if we beat them convincingly or don't beat them convincingly, to go up to Manchester to beat a Mourinho team and to beat them 1-0 mentally, especially in this November where apparently, you know, we're really, really poor, that will do so much for us. So I think it's kind of, we've kind of not got to, but it would be brilliant if we did.
Yeah, I agree. I think a a result up there is vital. And I see Favia's trolling me again. No, he's not getting found out in the league, Favia. If you were playing in that Man United side, you'd struggle, trust me. Jace, I mean, from this result, I mean, it is important that we take stock of this and that we look at this result in isolation. You know, it's a derby, yeah. all the bloody cliches go out the window. You know, it's a one-off game, all the form goes out the window, etc. It's just one game, you know, and we'll do them at their place. That's fine, not a problem. If anything, it's more satisfying. And it's late in the season, isn't it? So we could win the title at their place. That'd be lovely.
Yes.
But it's important that we send our players away, you know, for their international duty, and they do their thing, and then we come back. We just hit the ground running. We cannot sit here now afterwards and say, oh, that's disappointing, and go into our shells, can we?
No, absolutely not. I think one of the really good things coming up is the fact that I think Ozil's getting a rest from Germany on the international break, which will be nice. Have him have, you know, a good, you know, 10 to 14 days off here almost, you know, before matches. So it's that's going to be really, really nice to see and get him back to playing in form. You know, our players have had they've had a lot of fixtures, and they are probably just a little tired. You know, a lot of other teams are as well. The good news is the fact that we do have more depth this season than we've had. So we can rest some players, and we can bring other players on. We can bring Ramsey on for the United game. You know, I do think that it's going to be key for us to be able to put this match into perspective and move into that next match and say, like, you know, look, this is actually looking, you know, obviously hindsight's 20/20 now, knowing the result of this match, but looking back, the United match could even be more important. Curtis over Mourinho, knocking them down a peg, you know, it could be good. And once we start to get that momentum going like that, especially against the quote unquote curse outside of a North London derby where it is so just vitriolic and such a different animal in and of itself on a sort of a match week, going into a game against United, it's obviously a big occasion, but doesn't quite have the feel of the derby. And so you're able to go into it a little more level headed. And I think we will. And I do think we'll get a result from it. I do think this United team is just, they don't know how to play together right now. And the great thing is they have the most arrogant manager in the world who doesn't know how to fix anything because nothing's wrong because everything he does is perfect, obviously. I think we're playing them at the right time. And obviously that and the PSG match coming up as well are massive for, I think, setting us up going into December and how our form can be heading into the new year, because we all know that we're one of the better teams after January. So it's one of those things I'm really looking forward to see. And I do think that the mental strength klaxon, you know, that we have this season is much better. And I think we have a little more grit. Might I even say we have a little more granite in our team?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Thank you. I'll be here all week, folks. Tip your waitresses. I definitely think that we've got the ability to go on and make this a better November. Is it going to be our best November? Probably not. But can we make it a better November? Absolutely. We just need to make sure that we're focused on 3 points, game in and game out, because it really is a you know, it's one game at a time. It's making sure that you're not looking forward to anything. And it could, you know, the PSG match we could easily look forward to and stumble upon Manchester United. But we got to make sure that we focus on that, because we're in a really good position right now in the league to sort of control our own destiny if we play to our ability. Against any team in the league.
Agreed. And Janu, United are now 2-0 up. I wonder who just scored. Oh, yes, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. 1-0. I just have to turn your attention to a tweet. If you haven't yet seen it, please do watch it, because it's just made me laugh quite a lot. It's our good friend Darren Berry at Highbury_74, who's just retweeted, it's the interview with Theo Walcott and Harry Kane together at the end of the game. And he simply just says, he says, what the fuck is Harry Kane on about here? I won't spoil it. Just watch the tweet. It's fucking hilarious. We should probably take a few questions, really, shouldn't we, from our good public out and about on the Twitter universe and the questions in the box. I was just having a quick look here. A couple of people on Twitter. T1 producer agreed. They got their tactics spot on, played very well. We had good spells. At least we didn't lose. I agree with him. It was a pen, but it was a free kick way before the situation. That's from Mark Blondell. Must admit, I didn't see that. The one thing I did see that did go completely amiss was, is it Jan Vertonghen or whatever the fuck his name is? That clumsy twat at the back who just throws Koscielny to the floor when their yes. best chance of the game, which wasn't even a chance, hit the post. Yeah, that was the foul, by the way. So I did notice that one.
Also, there was a free kick. There was a free kick early on, and I want to say it was Wimmer. And
it literally looked like
he was trying to just rip the shirt right off of Xhaka. I'm talking about there's not even the ref was looking right at it, just right at it, and nothing.
And it was
appalling that
and Wanyama as well. How does Wanyama not get booked in that game? I mean, he elbowed Theo twice in the head. Like my problem is, and sort of Jason alluded to it, is the refereeing was poor. I'm not trying to make excuses. I promise you I'm not. But there needs to be consistency. Like, if that was another referee, that would have been a penalty when he was trying to juggle Xhaka's shirt. So why is it with this referee, it's not a penalty? Wanyama elbowed Theo in the head. There's no ways to look at it otherwise, apart from he elbowed him in the head twice. So how does he get away with that? And it's things like that really get on my nerves. Why referees always seem to be dragged to the spotlight. And like Chris said, I understand that you're going to have good referees, you're going to have bad referees. End of the day, sometimes you've got to take the decision out of their hands, and I get that. But when you have blatant fouls, that he didn't even get a yellow card for that in that game. Like, how does he get away with things like that? And we always seem to be talking about this, and it always seems to be against Arsenal. Like, we get punished. Like, look at that Xhaka against Middlesbrough? Swansea.
Yeah.
Like, I can't see that happening to any other team in the league apart from Arsenal. And it always seems to be us. Like, it just doesn't make sense. We wear these tight-fitting shirts, you know, so people can't drag our shirts. And then when people are dragging our shirts, and it's blatant when it does happen, because the shirt turns white when you drag it, I don't understand how they get away with it. It's just consistency. That's all we ask for.
Yeah, I do agree. And I have to say, I don't like using the term fraud, but Victor Wanyama is a pathetic excuse for a footballer. I do not understand what he is other than big, lumpy, muscular, and he's just a blob. The guy has no modicum of talent, and these Arsenal fans that were saying we should have signed him, have a look at yourself, seriously. And by the way, how's that £30 million you paid for Moussa Sissoko working out? Twats.
The other thing about just one more thing on Wanyama is somebody's got to tell, like, you know, PGMOL and the FA, watch anytime a ball is in the air, watch where his arms go. The first thing they do is they're this high every single time. This high. So he's going to elbow people. Like, it's going to happen. And people are like, oh, well, you have to have your arms up to jump. Yeah, not this high.
Yeah, I agree. It's
an intentional tactic that he uses to be able to knock players around. And he uses the excuse that he's jumping, and he got away with it a few times as well. He got one on Coquelin. He had one on Granit Xhaka. It wasn't just Theo that he was elbowing. Anytime the ball is coming near him, his elbows go back up and out, and it's something that the FA needs to look at seriously. And I'm surprised Clattenburg didn't have a word with him, because it was extremely obvious about halfway through the first half.
And as a very low-level footballer myself, it is an absolute myth that you have to jump with your arms like that. That's rubbish. Do you have to jump? Do you have to, you know, push up on somebody? Do you sometimes swing a straight arm as you jump? Yeah, you do not have to go up like that to get leverage. Utter bollocks. Utter bollocks. Just because Alan Shearer made a career out of it doesn't make it right. Look at me going all ranty. There's a couple of questions I've got in the box here. Thank you. Oh, Stephen Kelly. Why do we tend to cross the ball into the box when there's no one available to receive the ball? It is a good question. Have you got a thought on that, Carla? I think I know why, but I'll let you have your thoughts.
Me personally, because you can't always go back with the football. So where we play sort of overlapping, if you run towards a byline, and you've probably got a defender chasing you, the best thing to do is trying to get the ball into the box, and hopefully someone arrives late into the box. It's a frustration for me because, like we were talking about it in the WhatsApp group, there's never anyone in the group in the box, and it's always annoying. Like, all you want is someone just to be in the box, and these are the times where if you're going to put balls into the box, you need a Giroud sort of there to get the headers on. Like, Sanchez is what, 5'7", 5'8"? I mean, he's got a fantastic leap, brilliant leap, but he's just never, when we do that, there's never enough people in the box, and they're all, if there is someone in the box, it's always one person. You never get a load of people breaking into the box, which is a frustration, but at the same time, it's better to put the ball into the box rather than to go backwards and start to build up again.
Yeah, I think exactly the same as you, to be honest. I think it's a case of we sort of try and do that, get the ball in early for somebody running onto it tactic, which is great when it works, but obviously when it doesn't, it looks like you've played it to no one.
How often do we have somebody running in early?
Not very.
Yeah, no, that's a completely fair point.
That's one of my few criticisms with Sanchez as a striker is he wants to be so involved and be on the ball so much that he doesn't get into the box enough. And there were some times today when I was just yelling because the only guy we would have would be like Theo, and he would only be like a foot inside the box at the far post. And it's one of those things. It's maddening.
It's the Giroud ball, isn't it? That one where Giroud flicks it at the near post. That's the ball we're looking for, but it's good if you haven't got a player running into that place. So.
Correct.
Yeah. Tough one. Good question.
But Giroud's shit, and we should never play him because he's just a tall, static Frenchman who doesn't do anything for the team, Chris. I mean, remember?
Don't get me started. Yeah. Oh, there's that good that forward Firmino. No, it's Firmino.
I know Man City won the title earlier, and then Chelsea won it yesterday, but I think Liverpool winning it today.
Ah, I can't wait for 6:06 tonight on Radio 5. We get the Liverpool fans out. Yeah, I totally buy it. We're going to win the league. We're going to win the treble. We're going to win the quadruple, even though we're only in three tournaments. Fuck it. Oh, give me a break, you scouse bin.
They would still say that they're going to win the quadruple because they can't count.
Honestly, I've got a guy who plays for my Sunday team. I love
unless
him to bits.
Unless it's car radios.
I got a guy who plays my Sunday team. I love him to bits. Hi, Wayne. I'm sure you're not listening. But every time that Liverpool have a good result, he changes the name of our Pirates group to Liverpool's Year. Winds me up so much. Oh, he's such a troll. Such a troll. I'll believe it's Liverpool's Year when they actually win something that isn't in black and white. So, yeah. Anyway, Aidan Doyle, are you worried about the way we finish the game to similar seasons before? Finish this game to similar seasons before? Jace, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, no, I'm not worried. It's a you can't really, you got to take Derby games sort of out of, like, I'm getting tired of saying this. Last time I'll say it here. You got to, the form thing goes out the window. Like, you got to, you take the result that you can get. Any point is a decent point in a Derby like this. Obviously, you want the full 3 points for bragging rights and pride. But no, I'm not so worried about it. It's the other teams, the smaller teams. Not calling Tottenham a big team, but in a derby, you know, anything can happen. So the smaller teams that we should beat, that we are beating this season, even albeit late at times, those are the results that I'm judging us more on than a derby result.
Fair point. And also, Daniel Cronin wanted to know how awesome were the Arkansas's win yesterday. I guess that was some kind of handball or some sport. I don't know.
Yeah, it was throw egg, some collegiate throw egg, and my University of Arkansas, the Razorbacks, took down number 11th in the nation, 11th ranked in the nation, Florida Gators yesterday, pretty convincingly, 31-10. So should get us back into the top 25. So.
Get
us back into a good place.
I'm pleased for you. I know nothing about it at all, but I know this always upsets Jace. So, oh look, Zlatan scored again. I know this always upsets Jace, but I'm going to have to say this: rugby, not a sport. Sorry, it's not a sport when you can't pass forwards. It's not a sport. Sorry, you know, it's just not. Love you, Jace. Right, what else we got here? Our good friend Bavia, he's chucked in a question. Why didn't Theo and Iwobi swap wings in the first half? Could have tried that, in my opinion. Can I answer that one? Because Liverpool scored 5. Watford have fallen to bits. Watford are doing an Everton. It's a good question, that, actually, Bavia. I'll tell you, in my opinion, the reason why manager's orders. I do it at my level. You sometimes have wingers where you can comfortably swap wings because you trust that they can do the job. The thing you have to consider in that situation is that certain players will be given certain responsibilities. And I would imagine, for example, that Bellerin would have been given certain responsibilities with the player in front of him, and Monreal the same, the opposite way. So when you look at it like that, if they're given individual jobs to then switch those wingers around, you then have to switch the fullbacks' roles. It's all a big chain, essentially. And some managers don't like to change wings or don't like to change systems mid-game. They like to only do it at half-time. So I see your point, and I can certainly see why you would think that, but sometimes it's just the way it is, I guess. So, hey-ho. Have we got any other questions in the box here? Just scrolling up, see if I can find anything.
While you're looking for that, Chris, Zlatan just had his brace, by the way.
He's got two, yeah. Yeah, he's having a lovely old time.
It's turning out to be the best weekend, to be honest. Like, I hate to put a damper on things, and I'm happy we didn't lose, but with Liverpool winning and Chelsea winning and... it doesn't seem... Do you know what? Sometimes you've just got to be positive. At the end of the day, it's November. The season carries on until May.
Yep.
We're not going to win every game. And I'm telling you now, we're going to lose a game or two towards now and the end of the season. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes you take the rough with the smooth. We can only do... I know we're punishing ourselves watching that Liverpool game, but we can only do what we do. As long as we keep playing to the best of our ability and we're trying to win games, what other teams do, we have no control over whatsoever. Yeah. So I know probably Twitter's going to go mad and say, like, Liverpool winning and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? Good luck to them. But at the end of the day, not next week, the week after, all we can do is go up to Manchester and beat them, come back and just take the 3 points and be happy.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed, agreed. Yeah. And just to respond to somebody in the chat there, Cole likes Stessy, or Coe likes it. Anyway, you know who you are. Just saying that I make the analogy about Sunday League too often. It's nothing to do with the same as Premier League. It is, actually. It's very, very similar because I don't know whether you notice, but we all play the same game. 11 men or 22 men football. I'm not for a minute saying Sunday League is the same as far as a level goes. Of course I'm not, but it's all the same principle. And when you manage teams at like youth level or you coach children or if you just, you know, even if you play for a team, you know, when you're told by your manager pre-game or whatever, certain roles and certain responsibilities. And I'm sure even up to the very top of the level, all players will be given responsibilities. That's the point I'm making. So I'm not saying it's the same or it's the same level. I'm just saying that it is essentially from the same manuscript.
The same tactics win the games.
Exactly. There's a reason why managers at you know, League Two or the Championship or whatever, there's a reason why managers down there try and emulate managers at Premier League level, because they're trying to put the same philosophy on, and that goes all the way down the pyramid to all the way down the lower league. So, you know, it's an identity. So that's the only reason I'm bringing that up. Anyway, what else have we got? I'll tell you what, we'll leave the questions there. I'll finish with a question for both of you. Who do you see as the biggest title rivals for Arsenal right as we speak? Carl?
Chelsea. And I've said it from the get-go. They have no European football. They're playing once a week. I know Liverpool. I just think Liverpool would drop off, but for me, Conte has got them playing like a proper team. Chelsea, they have one game a week. They've got maximum recovery time. For me, they are the biggest threat to Arsenal. Man City. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. At the beginning of this season, I thought they were going to go for it, but I've seen them now, and I don't really rate them. But not that I don't rate them. I just don't think they're going to go on to do it. For me, you got to look at everything, all the surroundings. So for me, it's just that no European football with Chelsea. They've got so much recovery time. They're playing one game a week. They're not going to, I'm not saying they're not going to get tired, but they're not going to tire as easily as with a team who have to fly off to somewhere and then come back and play. Or even like, I don't think Man United are up there, but even them playing Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, Thursday, it takes a lot out of you. So for me, it's got to be Chelsea.
Yeah, I actually am in complete agreement with that. Joseph, do you feel any differently to anyone else?
I strongly disagree with that, actually. I'm still going to say it's City. Because yes, while Chelsea are playing well right now, and yes, they're rested there, an injury at the back away from Calamity, and an injury from the, who can they really bring on? Victor fucking Moses? Get the fuck out of here. No. They don't have the true depth anymore that they used to have, and their team is very, very old. Look at the average age on that Chelsea team. I think they're still going to be top four. They'll finish top four in the end, but I don't think they're true title contenders. I'm still much more worried about City, because I think they've got a good recipe. They've got a good mix of experience. They've got a good mix of youth, and I think Pep knows how to get the most out of his players, even if his players' minds are sort of wandering. And I think we saw that at Bayern. He still is able to sort of pull good performances out of him and get full points. So I'm more worried about City than I am Chelsea.
Fair enough. I must admit, I'm with you, Carla. Chelsea's the one for me. And for all those people that are waxing lyrical about Liverpool, that almost rhymes. Hull City, Swansea, and out of sorts Manchester United at home, which they didn't beat, West Brom, Crystal Palace, and Watford. I mean, they are some serious powerhouses. So, you know, credit where credit's due. That's some serious flat track bullying right there. But yeah, God bless them. I hope they all find work, which they won't. Anyway, I think we will draw a line there, because I don't really have anything else to say, and I've got to go out soon, so that's what I'm going to do. But thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate each and every one of you every single week. We will be back after, what's our next game? PSG, I guess, is it? I think.
Man United,
then PSG, isn't it? So and we've got a little break now. We've got the old... international boar fest. So look forward to your break. Try and switch off from all the negativity, people. Try and enjoy things. And we will be back soon. So my thanks to Jace and to Carl. We appreciate your time as always, gentlemen.
A pleasure as always.
Yeah, but I'm going to go ahead and also I'm going to plug Drew's blog.
Plug on, away.
At the Bernie Blogs. About our form in November. Really, really good read. So go check at the Berkey Blogs and go check our good friend Drew, who's American over here with me. Go check his blog out.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, continue to follow the Berkey Blogs. Jeff will be getting another one out next week, I think, in the podcast from Thursday, which some bloke hosted. I don't know who he was. And the reason Danny wasn't here, by the way, today is because he's a lazy shit and he's probably not out of bed. You know, you all know it. I'm just confirming it. So it's just the way it is. Right. So that was a Bergkamp Wonderland radio show from the Matheson. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. And we will return after the international break if you're all still awake. We'll keep it Arsenal till then. We'll speak to you very soon. Bye bye.
Take care.
Valentine's Day, you would want to say, babe, I love you,
yo, he's
babe,
lying.
I swear, held you when you were sick, even the whole time I think to myself, this isn't fair. What is this I see?
No.
You don't come home to me.
Oh no.
When you don't come home to me.
Man.
Can't deal, can't bear. Telling me lies, but to your surprise, look, I found her red coat and your bitch caught out there.
I hate you so much right now. I hate you so much right now. Ah, I hate you so much right now. I hate you so much right now. I hate you so much right now. Ah, I hate you so much right now.
So sick of your games. I'll set your truck to flames and watch it blow up. Sincere.
I love you.
Fabrications in my ear drive me so far up the wall. I come sliding down. What is this I see?
I don't believe
you.
This.
Don't come home to me.
telling me lies. But to your surprise, look, I hope you're happy since you're out there.
Yeah, you've been caught.
Why the hell her? Look, she dresses.
Look at her.
A mess. What do you see?
I don't know.
It's not all about cash.
Hell no.
Nor how much you flash. How I dress is a reflection of me. What is this I see? You don't come home to me. Well, you don't come home to me. Can't deal, can't bear.
Told you I won't.
You keep telling me lies. But to your surprise, I got something.